Father God, thank you for bringing us together this morning. And I pray that as I speak, you'd give me words that are true and helpful. Would you give us all hearts that are ready to hear and to respond to your word? For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you were here last week, then this is a very different service. Last week, we celebrated our holiday club, which is a club we put on for primary age children. It was called Wacky Wardrobe this year, and the theme was all about dressing up. And for those of you, I know some in today were at Wacky Wardrobe, so sorry to spoil the illusion, and if you were here last week. But we had a character called Odd Job, who tried out lots of different jobs. I'm afraid it was just Helen dressed up. Helen worked for us here at church, and when we were putting this costume together, if you didn't see it, then do ask her. She'd love to show you the photo. She was so proud of it. We put her in this this sort of red overalls and this tie-dye top, this rainbow wig, and she said, "Do you know, I think I need something to go over my face. I think I need something to cover up my face so the children don't know who I am." I think it was actually that she didn't want to walk down along the A6 being videoed with people recognising her. But anyway, do you think I need something to cover up my face? It's hopeless anyway. Of course, the secret lasts all of about 2 seconds. My three-year-old was there, and we asked, "What did you enjoy about Holiday Club?" And he said, "It was funny when Helen dressed up as Odd Job." Completely hopeless. Now, there's a sense in which we all want to do that. We all want to put on masks to cover ourselves up. And that's what we're thinking about this morning. Normally, these aren't literal masks, but we put on a front. That is some way that we want to cover up the true us, what we're really thinking or feeling. You may know the word hypocrite. It's a word that comes from the Greek theatre, ancient Greece, the hypocrite being the actor who would hold up the mask in front of their face to pretend to be someone that they weren't. Well, that's actually what we do all the time, isn't it? By putting up these masks to pretend to be someone or something we're not. So, why do we do that? Why do we do that sort of thing? Well, various reasons. Firstly, privacy. And this is a good one, I think. I'm not suggesting this morning that we should just go and bare our souls to everyone we happen to bump into. Certainly, we don't want to be exposing our deepest and darkest secrets at the drop of a hat. But there should be some people in your life who you're prepared to be, if you like, more real with, more open with. And that's going to vary from person to person. You'll have different relationships where it's appropriate to reveal more about yourself. Some where you want to actually hold back. And there is a good and right place for that. British Reserve does have its merits. Privacy. Secondly, protection. Sometimes we put up masks because we want to protect ourselves. That is, we cover ourselves up because we don't want to let something deep down get out. Now, that might be something very serious. That might be something in your past that actually you're not wanting to let out. Perhaps even you're trying to deny it to yourself. Some past abuse or pain or experience that actually you don't want to go back to. Again, that is an understandable reason to put up a mask. It's not really where we are this morning, what we're talking about this morning. But if that resonates with you, then do find someone to speak to. And if you'd like to speak to me, then I'm very happy to do that. Privacy, protection. Thirdly, selfishness. A third reason we put on masks. And this is when we have this sort of unspoken agreement amongst ourselves, where we say, "I'll not ask you too much about your life if you don't ask me too much about my life." Basically, I don't want to open up to you in case you then open up to me. Frankly, I've got enough on my plate without having to deal with your mess too. So it's selfishness. So there's three reasons so far: privacy, protection, selfishness. And actually, those are reasons I'm not particularly thinking about this morning. But they are reasons that we put masks on, and perhaps you want to come back to them in the questions. In a church setting, if you're part of the congregation here, or perhaps you're part of another church somewhere, church should be a body, a fellowship, where we can be more real, more open with each other. And in some of these circumstances where perhaps you do have things that you need to share and talk to people about, church should be a place we can do that. We should not be a selfish, but a caring fellowship. But let's move on to think about some reasons we wear masks that actually I'm more interested in this morning. The first of those, or the fourth, if you're counting my reasons, is pride. Pride. We wear our masks because we don't want to show or to admit to any weaknesses in our lives. Okay, this is the big boys don't cry syndrome. So what we do in our lives is we project an image of ourselves out there that we think that people want to see. A sort of version of us that people will respect. Because if we show people what we're really like, they may think less of us. That's going to knock our pride, because we have this view of ourselves that we want to maintain. Fourthly, pride. The fifth reason is shame. And this is actually the flip side to pride. Think about it like this. Pride is wanting people to think that we're better than we are. Shame is not wanting people to know just how bad we are. Shame. We think, if we let that mask down, if somebody can see into my life, into my soul, then they're going to think badly of me. I've got plenty to be ashamed about. Again, I just need to say, some people feel shame for things that are not their fault. Some people carry shame with them through lives over things in situations in which they were the complete victim. And so if that's you, that is a shame that you should not be carrying, and again, one that would be good to speak to a trusted friend about. But often we're rightly ashamed, because there are things in our lives that we should be ashamed of. And actually we think, well, if people knew that about me, then I could never look them in the eye. Fifthly, shame. Sixth, a reason that we put on the masks, fear. I know for some of you, it's been a nerve-wracking time. Some of you have just gone into year seven, starting your new schools. Others perhaps thinking about moves to university, new job, going back. Anytime you start something new, there's that fear, isn't there? That nervousness within. Because we're desperate for people to like us, and we're scared that they won't. And when you're thrown into a new setting, that is, of course, so much worse. So we think, if I drop my mask, I'll be rejected. So I'm going to put it on. It's the same reason, I think, why cosmetic industry is so large. Largely girls and women, but men as well, want to make themselves look good. And so they spend time and money on their makeup and their appearance, because they want to project that image to those around them. We don't want to look, we don't want to think people are looking down on us. And nothing wrong with wearing makeup, nothing wrong with taking care in your appearance, of course. But it's when it's that fear of what people are going to think of me if I don't. So there we go, we put these masks on, and I hope that most of you are at least with me in the theory that we put on a front in different circumstances to different extents to hide who we really are and what we're really like. We do it for that variety of reasons. Perhaps some of those resonate with you, perhaps some don't. Perhaps you can think of others. You may have heard this quote. This is a writer called Dave Barry. He said this: "The one thing that unites all human beings, regardless of age, gender, religion, economic status, or ethnic background, is that deep down inside, we all believe we are above average drivers." So true. Deep down, there is something that unites us. And I think the thing that really unites humanity deep down is that there's things about me that I don't want you to know. There are things in my life that I want to keep hidden. And I think if you're honest with yourself, you would agree with me. Well, the Bible puts that down to sin. See, the Bible isn't surprised by that. Now, the Bible puts that down to sin. You may know the story of the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. Right at the beginning of the world, Adam and Eve are there in the garden, and they sin. They rebel against God. And what is the first thing they do? This is what we read in Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. "They knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths." The first thing that humans do after they sin against God is to try and cover themselves up. They're suddenly ashamed. They realize they're naked. And that futile exercise is one we've been carrying on ever since. All our masks are a way to try and convince others that we're okay. Because if I can persuade you that I'm okay, just maybe I can begin to fool myself that I'm okay. Even though deep down, I know that I'm not. Let's return to wardrobes. We had this wacky wardrobe holiday club. If you weren't here last week, then sorry, this isn't making too much sense. But let's return to wardrobes. My wife Jenny and I have different styles of tidying up. Perhaps you have this issue in your house. Jenny is very meticulous, so when she tidies up, everything's got to find its home, and everything's got to go back in the right place. When I tidy up, I think that the aim of the exercise is to try and clear a surface or a floor as quickly as you can, and so I'm shoving things in drawers and cupboards. Now, I argue that my way makes the house more presentable more quickly, which I think it does. Jenny argues that all I've done is move the mess somewhere else. Again, probably true. Ongoing debate. And she's next door, so don't tell her I said that. When we wear masks, this is what I think we're doing. It's like we've all got our own wardrobes. And what we want to do is we want to shove all the mess in our lives into this wardrobe, slam the doors, and forget all about it. Or at least present that to the world. Present a nice pair of oak veneer or shiny, newly painted wardrobe doors to the world. You look at my wardrobe, I'll look at yours, and let's just not worry about what's behind those doors. Well, the problem with that approach, at least according to the Bible, is that one day the doors are going to be opened. One day we will all be unmasked. Now, this is why I asked to have Psalm 139 read. If you've got a Bible there, it'd be worth just having open. I should say, normally in our services, we take a passage of the Bible and work through it in a lot more detail. Today is a bit more topical, but we're going to refer to a few verses now from Psalm 139 on page 627. Listen to how he starts. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. The psalmist is saying to God, you know everything about me. You know everything about my life, where I am, what I'm doing at all times. He goes on in verse 7 and 8. Where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to the heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, this sort of place of the dead, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there, you're there. So this, he's saying to God, you know everything about me, and wherever I go, you're there. I can't escape from you. And then when we fast forward in the Bible, we get to the book of Romans, and Paul writes in Romans that one day God will judge the secrets of men's hearts. He knows everything about me, and he's going to expose that heart, and he's going to judge it before his judgment seat. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about that mess that you've tried so hard to keep hidden from your family and your friends, suddenly being exposed before Almighty God, a pure and holy a being who knows everything about you? See, I think we might be tempted to feel slightly scared of that, intimidated, nervous about standing before God. But the strange thing is in the psalm, and I wonder if you picked this up, the strange thing in the psalm is the psalmist isn't scared. He isn't worried about standing before God. He doesn't mind that God knows everything about him and he can't ever get away from God. Rather, he rejoices in it. Look at verse 6. He says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Verse 14. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. Verse 17. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. Here is a man who is delighting in the fact that God knows everything about him, rejoicing in it. Well, how can he do that? Perhaps he's the one man in history who's got his wardrobe in order, all his shirts ironed, all his shoes nicely paired, all his washing done. No, it's not because he's a pure, blameless, sinless man. It's because he's a man who's got a right relationship with God. And this is what we're getting to this morning. We all use these masks to cover up something about ourselves. But if we could have a right relationship with God, there would be no need for the masks. Christianity, you see, is not about reaching some moral standard, trying to be so good that I'm acceptable to God. That's not what Christianity is. That's more what you might term religion, the way that we try and work our way up to God. And if that is what we've got to do, then of course we put masks on. Because we know that we're not good enough for God as we are, so we're going to cover up in any way that we can. But that's not what Christianity is. Christianity doesn't tell us that we have to be really, really good to get to God. In fact, it says the opposite. It says you are really, really bad. And again, it's this word sin. The Bible says that we are all sinners. Theologians use this phrase, total depravity, you may have heard of. What it means is that sin, our rebellion against God, has infected every aspect and every part of every one of us. That's who we are. We are sinners, rebels against God. But God hasn't left us in that sorry state. Again, in our holiday club, we thought about Jesus being a doctor. He says he's not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He's come as a doctor to heal us from that sin disease. That's what he does as he dies for us on the cross. Jesus stretched out his arms to die in agony, taking upon himself the punishment that we deserved. And so again, this is a blast through what Christianity is all about. But because Jesus died, he then can give us his righteous, perfect, holy life. So we can be justified. That is, we can be declared not guilty when we stand before God. Not because I'm good, but because Jesus was good for me. Now, you may or may not believe that message of the gospel. But you see, if that is true, if I'm a sinner who is acceptable to God only because Jesus died for me, well, that cuts down my pride. I've got nothing to be proud of. But it also removes my shame because Jesus has taken it for me. Well, as we begin to try and apply this a little bit more, let's think about some implications of this for our lives. We all wear masks for different reasons. Christianity says you can stand before a God who knows everything about you and not worry about those masks coming off. So here are some implications. Firstly, we can be honest with God. If you know you're a justified sinner, that is, if you know that Jesus has died for you and you are now forgiven, you're not going to be wasting time trying to show God how good you are. You're not going to be trying to put on that mask to pretend to be something that you're not. In fact, you can freely confess your sin, the depths of it, because you know you're accepted in Christ. That's what's going on in this psalm. The guy writing it is confident in his relationship with God. So he can say to God, shine your holy spotlight through every nook and cranny of my life. See just how bad I am, because I know when you do that, you're going to help me fight against sin. You're going to expose it so I can root it out of my life, so I can be somebody who lives a life more pleasing to you. He's not scared of God looking into his life, because he knows that God is on his side. Look at the end of the psalm, the last couple of verses. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any grievous way in me. Is there anything bad in there? Get it out and lead me in the way everlasting. Because I know I'm walking with God in this life and on towards eternity with him, as we sang in that great song just before I spoke. Then we know that he can search us and try us, and we have nothing to fear. So we can be honest with God, but secondly, we can be honest with others. We can be honest with each other. Two reasons for this. Firstly, that they're sinners too. I can be honest with you because I know you're a sinner. My first ever football match, I support Sheffield Wednesday, and my uncle had got me tickets to see Wimbledon against Sheffield Wednesday. He lives down there in Croydon, near where the Wimbledon ground was in those days. And so I'd stayed with him overnight, got up in the morning, put my Sheffield Wednesday shirt on, I'd got my scarf, got my hat, ran downstairs to breakfast, really buzzing, really excited. Uncle says to me, well, you can't wear that. What do you mean I can't wear that? We're sitting in the Wimbledon fans. What? We're doing what? Singing a Wimbledon fan. So I didn't have to take it all off. I had to sit there watching my football team for the first time I'd watched them, knowing I was not amongst friends. Well, they were nice people. Even Wimbledon fans. Look, I'm going to be more prepared to admit my failures and insecurities if I know I'm in light company. I'm going to shout for Sheffield Wednesday if I know I'm in a Sheffield Wednesday fan. I'm going to open up my sin to you if I've got that confidence that actually I know you're sinful as well. I'm not the only one who struggles to live as God wants me to live. And indeed, if you're someone who understands the gospel, you shouldn't be too shocked at what I say. You might be shocked at some of the things that I open up with, some of the things in my life. But actually, deep down, you should know, well, I knew you're a sinner all along, James. The fact that you've exposed this to me just shows me how you're a sinner. And I understand because I am too. We can be honest with others because they're sinners too. But secondly, we can be honest with others because they're not the judge. Now, this is harder to cope with because this goes back to the thing of we want to be liked. We want our friends at school to like us. We want people around us at work and in community and our family to respect us. But, you know, deep down, it doesn't matter what other people think of you. If you expose yourself to somebody and they don't like it and they shun you and they look down on you and they mock you, well, that will be a horrible thing to go through. But ultimately, it doesn't matter because God is the judge. And if you are a Christian and he says to you, you are justified, you are not guilty. He is the one who matters. We need to be wrapping this up. So what have we thought about this morning? We've thought about the fact that we all wear masks and reasons why we do that. Now, I think I need to say that if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, or perhaps you're not convinced by what I've been explaining Christianity is, if you're not a Christian, then actually I might have to say to you that wearing masks is your best option. Because actually from the Bible, I know that there's things in your life that you don't want us to know about. And covering them up in any way you can might be your best option. Get through life as best you can and just hope that I'm wrong and that there is no judgment at the end of it. If you are in that sort of place and you're thinking about some of these things, perhaps it's even a bit shocking to come to church and hear this thought that God might want to judge what you've done in the secret depths of your heart. We're putting on a course starting in October called Unbelievable. Just some relaxed Thursday evenings. We'll be meeting in the hall. We'll have a drink together and think about some different areas of the Christian faith. That would be a good chance to discuss your own thoughts. But if you're here this morning as a Christian, the Christian message gives you confidence to take off your masks. Be real with one another because God already knows everything about you. You can't shock him. And yet he was prepared to send his son to die so that you could have that relationship with him. So my prayer for all of us is that we come to God unmasked, seeking his mercy, being open and honest with one another, because at heart, what we all are is forgiven sinners. There's no need to hide. And musicians are going to come back out now, and let me pray for us before we move on with our service. Father God, as we consider our own response to these words this morning, I pray that you'd be with us. Help us to think carefully, not to dismiss too lightly things which may be of importance to us, but may they resonate in our hearts. Help us to always be looking to you, the one who justifies. Amen.